The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
At the conclusion of the first round of the 2025 NHL Draft, Director of Amateur Scouting Chris Morehouse, Director of Player Development Scott Fitzgerald, and Sharks General Manager Mike Greer spoke with the media. And Mike Greer was asked when he decided to draft Michael Mesa second overall.
A while ago.
Okay. A while ago. Okay. Any timeline exactly when a while ago means?
No, it means a while ago. We were pretty sure he was number two on our list for quite a while.
Okay. What about Michael separated himself from any other guys that you guys might have considered?
The benefit of watching him over, last 3 years and just seeing how he's grown and developed and matured, his ability on both sides of the puck, his offensive instincts. Then you get a chance to spend time with him, meet him, go through our process that we do. And it's an awful lot to like about Michael, and we're really excited.
And with your second first round pick, you drafted a goalie, which might be a surprise just because you obviously have Askarov, ready to take the reins there. Can you just talk about that decision to go with Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I think the scouts have done their work, their homework throughout the year, the last 2 years, really. And, as we just kind of followed our board, he was the best player available at the board and on our board. And, it wasn't something we're still at the stages we're not drafting for whatever other people might think our need is in the organization. We're taking the best player here.
All right. Thanks for now.
Max.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this. You guys rated Mesa pretty high. Where do you see him as a comparable NHL player? I know there's been some talk of like Tavares. What do you guys like about his game the most?
Well, I mean, it's not really fair to a lot of these kids to put these comps on him, but I think he just plays a 200-foot game, plays with a lot of speed, drives play, and, he's a dual threat, can score and shoot and make plays and competes hard. So, he's got pretty much everything you look for at someone in the middle of the rink. So, we're excited to be able to get him.
You guys look at the center depth now. I mean, with Will getting a shot at center and Mac and now Mesa and the trade for Ostapchuk, I know you wanted to build down the middle through the center. How do you like the way it's shaping up as you go through this rebuild?
Yeah, these are good players, and they're all kind of unique in their own ways. So we're excited to have them all. And as you kind of see in the playoffs, you need center depth. And even now when you're on your other side of it, when you look around in the trade market and free agency, finding good centers, it's a hard thing to do.
When you look at Ravensburg and Brady catches right-handed, did that maybe go into the thinking a little bit, right? Like you've got Askarov who catches right-handed. It's kind of a little bit easier in that sense, maybe. What was the thought process? Did that play a role into it, picking him?
No, not really. It was just the talent and the mindset and that part of the kid. It's didn't really have anything to do with which way he catches.
Thanks for now.
John.
Hey, Mike, John Worrell with the AP. With the young core that you have and knowing that you said, it looks like we're turning the corner this past week, after this first round, after this draft, what's the next challenge in taking the next step for a team that's got a lot of youth?
Yeah, we got to surround them with the right pieces. We don't want to put too much on these kids and feel like they got to carry the franchise. So we got to surround them with the right pieces, right vets, the right guys that are maybe in their mid-20s or so. We got to put some pieces around them and keep building and not get complacent in any parts in the organization, from myself to the coaching staff to the players, to get better and turn the corner. Everyone's got to put in the work and be willing to push themselves and try and be better every day. So it's a lot of it's going to go into it for us getting better.
I get that. And one last thing, just about the overall draft and this whole decentralized thing. Were there any challenges that you encountered, and might there be a want or desire to go back to the old way?
No, I thought it went pretty smoothly for the most part. It, for us and the scouts and Chris and Fitzy here, I think it was kind of nice to be able to just kind of talk freely, joke around, get up, walk around, have all your analytics stuff and value things and charts and lists, having all that stuff in front of you readily without having to kind of worry about another team seeing it. So all that stuff, there was a lot of positives for it for sure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Dan?
Yeah, Mike, hopefully you can hear me. Michael Mesa was pretty clear on his desires to play in the NHL next season, as quickly as he can. I'm curious, when you drafted him, is it an intention of yours to see to have him in the NHL next season? Is that something that, in your line of thinking that you think this kid can do?
Well, his play will dictate it, really. And I wouldn't expect him to say anything different. He's an ultra competitive kid who's been playing up a level, up a berth here his whole life. So, he wants to be the best. He wants to play against the best. So, I'm sure this is what he wants to do. But, we're not going to hand him anything. He's got to come into training camp and try and take a job and earn a spot. So, we'll just kind of see how it goes. But his play and how he does will dictate how things go.
Just to follow up on that real fast. I mean, what is it? We know the player. Tell us about the person that you guys got to know through the course of this process. That that drive that he has, did that come through in the conversations you have with him?
It came through. I'll let Fitzy and Chris kind of speak on it some more. They spent some time with him as well.
Yeah, I found that he's a high character kid. Comes from a good family. Obviously he's a good player, but I think the character, the drive, he wants this, and so far in his career he's done a lot and checked a lot of boxes for himself.
Yeah, and I think just to add on that, with you look at what kids go through, and we talk about being able to handle pressure of the NHL. Mike mentioned how he always played a year up. For me, watching him as he got pushed to the wing last year, he won a Memorial Cup. They challenged him, came back, gave him the number one center. They asked him to put up numbers, asked him to produce, and he did that. So I just think the fact that he's been able to show against older kids and what he's able to do, you can see the drive and the competitiveness and the continued want to be the best. And those are all really key things. If you want kids to hit their potential, they have to have that overachieving mentality. And I think this kid has it.
Thanks, guys.
Curtis.
Either for Chris or Fitzy, but Michael talked about the meeting, the dinner you guys had in Buffalo, and he said it was just so relaxed and he felt really comfortable, and just being in, just hanging out with you guys for a while. Did that meeting kind of solidify your belief that this is the right player to bring into the Sharks organization?
I think I've said it a couple times. I think the combine for us scouts, we don't just use that as kind of that end all be all of getting to know them. We have area scouts that go out and interview the kid before. We have a process in place. So we want to create an environment that kids are relaxed and enjoy themselves, because I've never met a kid that responds well when they're really uncomfortable and not in the mix. So for us, it was just try to get to know the kid, create an environment where they come in, and it's like having dinner with your family. And I think we use that time to just kind of spend time with them and make sure we know everything and we're checking all the boxes. But
Chloe?
certainly that was part of it, but it's not all that goes into it.
It'll be on.
For Mike, was there ever any consideration of moving the pick down, to collect maybe more assets, or bring in a player to help you rise right away? Was that ever a consideration? Did any other teams get in touch with you at all?
Yeah, I mean, a few teams, they called about the pick, and we kind of went over some scenarios and what the offers were. But at the end of the day, we just felt that Michael was just too special of a player to for us to pass on. So, to have an opportunity to have him and Macklin and Will and Ecky and Sam and all these guys to kind of grow together, and Askey, you know, especially having the strength down the middle, like you guys touched on earlier. We just thought it was too much of a special opportunity for us to pass up.
And going off the fact that Michael wants to start his NHL career right away here, what does he need to show you or anybody that, you know, he's ready to maybe make that leap from the OHL to the NHL? Is there any specific things you look for to judge whether a player is ready to sort of make that jump?
Well, there's a couple things, you know, your decision making and he's a really cerebral, smart player, high IQ, but you know, when you get out there and it's at NHL pace and things are happening faster than you're used to, can you think and keep up and your decision making stay on point? And then another thing, especially for him, if he's going to be in the middle, is can you defend and can you play against, you know, bigger, heavier D type thing? Can you get to the middle of ice and do things that you've been accustomed to against, you know, bigger, stronger players? So we'll look at those things, but, you know, it's on, like I said, it'll be up to him. He's got the talent and everything, but, you know, we're not going to put any pressure on him at all, and we'll just see how camp and everything goes.
For Chris or Fitz, you know, what stands out about Josh's game? Like, what was there a specific maybe moment or a time where you said, you know, this kid looks like he could be worthy of a first-round pick?
Yeah, no, he's a big kid. He's athletic. He just looks the part, you know. We did a little more background with the interview process. Good kid, good character, like we said earlier. And he's just a big, athletic, kind of prototypical today's goalie.
And as you look ahead to tomorrow, obviously, start right away at number 33. Are there, Mr. You know, feel that there's some players there that could, you know, really help the organization? Does the shift maybe turn to looking for maybe specific needs within the team?
You know, I think at 33, we feel like we're going to get a really good player there, someone we really like. And then, you know, we'll kind of see how the board shakes out. You know, maybe there's a need somewhere along the line, but, you know, for the most part, we're trying to stay away from drafting for need. We still, you know, it's not the NFL or the NBA. These kids are all going to need some time when you get into day two, need some time to develop and grow their games and get stronger and mature and everything. So, you know, I think we'll follow our board and our list and kind of take the guys as they come.
All right. Thank you.
We'll take some final round of questions, starting with Noah.
Yeah. Speaking to Michael's mindset, what did it tell you guys that when he wasn't invited by Canada ahead of the World Juniors, he took it in stride, turned his attention to the team he was playing for, and had a second half surge in productivity? What did that tell you about how he, you know, how he operates, just how his mind works?
Yeah, I just think it shows the maturity the kid has, really. You know, the focus and the drive that he has. So he was able to kind of turn the page and put his focus on his club team and you know, being a leader and captain for that team at a young age. I think that definitely shows some maturity to be able to kind of put some of your personal goals aside and put the team first. And, you know, he obviously did that and went on a, you know, kind of continued his tear in the second half of the year.
Thanks.
Cheng.
About Michael, what is your thought about, I guess, the best course for him next year, you know, CHL or NCAA? If it is NCAA, I'm not sure if he has to kind of decide on that sooner than even before training camp, but just anything you guys can say about that.
No, not much. I think we'll let him enjoy the night, you know, with his family and friends. And then, you know, that's more of a discussion for myself and the development staff, and him and his family and his agents and stuff to all kind of sit down and have a bigger conversation. So, you know, now, unfortunately, is for you guys, it's not, you know, it's not the right time for me to kind of get into that stuff with about him.
Do you guys project him more as a center or wing in the future, or his play will dictate that?
I mean, I think he can stay in the middle with his brain and this, his skating and the way he plays on the defensive side of the puck. I'll let, you know, Chris can probably talk more about it. He's with all the games he's watched him, but we think he can stay there.
Yeah, I think we project him as a center. I think one thing that makes us even more comfortable when we're talking about, you know, his versatility and his ability to play on the wing that he showed, you know, in younger years the year before. So I agree with Mike. I think his defensive play isn't as talked about as much because of the offensive production, but he does have strength. He does have ability to maintain and hold in the middle of the ice. So obviously, yes, it will be up to him, but we are projecting him as a center.
And the last one for me about Josh, specifically for Scott or Chris, you guys talked about sort of a lot about his physical attributes, but obviously for a goalie, you know, between the ears, really important. Just what did you guys learn about him just mentally, and just like his attributes there?
Yeah, I mean, we're really fortunate enough to have a lot of people that can help us out, and we have great goalie guys who spent some time with him, interviewed him, and I think, again, with him, he's gone through a lot in his life as a young kid. He lost someone close to him in terms of his process and a goalie coach, and I think when you saw what the potential of what could be there, and I think you have a young kid that's looking for guidance, he's looking for coaching, he's looking for help, and I think in terms of the athletic and the raw ability, he has the right mindset to work on those tools and get better. So it's really exciting with that wingspan, with that lateral mobility and that size to go along with a kid that really wants it. And I think he wasn't drafted in the Western League. He's kind of been always second guessed and doubted. And that's also another thing that I think he has going in his favor.
We'll finish up here with Eric.
Yeah. Hey guys. I have a, just one question for either Chris or Fitz. Obviously Macklin was pretty much a slam dunk number one last year, but with these high picks that you've had in recent years, I'm just curious if, what's the energy like when you're discussing those selections with your people in the room in advance of that? You know, does it get spirited? Does it, is there a different energy that comes with it as opposed to, you know, say when you're making the later selections and whatnot?
Yeah, honestly, we encourage our scouts to be as excited from the last pick in the draft to the first one. And I know that sounds crazy and unrealistic, but you only get, normal year, you only get seven picks and the kids are spread out all over the world. You want your scouts to have passion. But Mike has created an environment here where everybody has an opportunity to say things. If they know the player, talk about the players, but it's also done in a respectful, and I'm not a big conflict guy. I don't want to get in yelling matches, but I want to talk about players and make sure we get it right. And I think that's what's really great about here in our process is that we do take as much time with that second pick as we will for the seventh round pick we take next year. And we take a lot of pride in that. So I think conversations are great. Dialogue are great, but we're not usually screaming and yelling at each other because there's other ways to get your point across.
Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network all this upcoming week as we cover every aspect of Dev Camp, including the prospect scrimmage on July 3rd. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.